Hello, ladies. It is that time of year again. We are so amped, excited, and ready for this year's SWATA Conference. The theme this year is the awakening. We are going to go to that level that God is calling us as women. So come and join us August 16th through the 18th. We have a great lineup of speakers, and you will be blessed August 16th through the 18th. Put it on your calendar. The awakening. We're going to that place that God is calling us as women, and we are excited. So ladies, come, all of you, be in the house. I will be looking forward to seeing you. Be blessed.
Headed in the right direction. 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 Headed in the right direction.
You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is My Praise, My Worship by Pastor Chandler Bailey.
Listen, I'm excited to talk to you tonight from the emphasis of praise and worship. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you my subject title for the sake of time. The subject title that I have is simply this: My Praise, My Worship. Can you say it with me? One, two, three. My Praise, My Worship. We have had a lot of services here. We have a lot of praise and worshipers here. I have run around laps around the church. We have opportunities where you have shut-ins and all that cool stuff. And you have the opportunity to explode in your faith and praise corporately. And you are excited and we're pumped and we're hyped. And we scream hallelujah and we jump and we run. But God started dealing with me that if I don't take this home consistently, I won't have victory. And so my praise, my worship emphasizes the fact that it has to be personal. Someone say, we're going to get personal tonight. We're going to get personal because until you take this home, no one has permission and no one can even try to tell you that God is not real when you take your praise and your worship home. No one can tell you, not no sickness, not no trials, not no tribulations, not even financial hardships can stop you when you make your praise personal, when you can stop you when you make your worship personal. Nothing can stop you because you're in a position with your praise and your worship where it's personal over profitable. You're not looking for anything with your senses. You're not looking for anything in your natural reality to show you that your praise is working and that your worship is working. You have something called conviction. Someone say conviction. That even though I'm not out of debt, when I praised God, I felt like I was on top of my debt. You have conviction. Even though it hasn't showed up in my natural body, my spiritual body is telling me I'm healed because I worshiped. So we have to make my praise. I have to make this my praise, and I have to make this my worship, because when I do that, I have conviction, and now I can cultivate and I can facilitate and I can participate my own within my own breakthrough realm. Because we can participate, but can we cultivate? And then can we cultivate? Can we facilitate? Can everybody be acting crazy in your house, but you declare a spirit of soberness by putting worship music on? And Righteous and Alina might be doing this and this, but when me and the wife get together, we say, hold up, what's going on in this atmosphere? We're going to shut it down because we're making my praise personal. Amen. And I'm making my worship personal. Amen. So this is my praise. This is my worship. Say, this is my praise. This is my worship. If I'm truly going to understand the power of praise and worship, and we all have multiple ingredients, so I pray that this merges and you're able to marry it, and at the end of the night, everything will make sense even over the course of this whole month, because the Holy Spirit knows how to connect the dots. You know, so if I'm going to make my worship, if I'm going to make worship personal, if I'm going to make praise personal, I have to look through the lens of other people in the faith who made it personal. And so when we search God's word, we have to look at those who were victorious, that had a personal relationship with God to the point where others who were outside of their spectrum looked at them ridiculously, for lack of better words. And one of those we know is David. A lot of worship arts people and a lot of worshipers understand Psalms and understand the theological concept that's found in Psalms. But David writes from a personal perspective. Write this down right now. Write, my praise changes my perspective. So perspective has a position in my praise. And David, if you really think about the scriptures and look at what he was writing, he always had a different interpretation about his situation. You can put Psalms 103 up, but I'm going to talk about the Message version. But when I think about everybody being scared of Goliath, everyone was calling him Goliath. But David didn't call him that. David called him something from his perspective. David called him uncircumcised Philistine, meaning you're just a bigger, weak person without a covenant. You're just an easier target to hit with my covenant. My praise, my worship says no matter how much in debt you are, no matter how many bills you have, it doesn't matter. My praise and my worship allows me to see it, that you're outside of the promise and you're challenging what God's saying to me, but I have a different interpretation from a place of conviction, because this ain't just the ministers and the musicians and these people who facilitate praise and worship. This is mine. And I thank God for Minister Bibby, and I thank God for Bishop, and I thank God for Dr. Marshall, and I dissect the word and I read it, but I can go home and I can cut this thing on with no music. I got a song in my soul. And you don't want to hear me sing because I'm not the best singer, but my song in my soul says I'm on top of this. So Psalms 103 highlights the fact that David says, oh, my soul, bless God. Check this out. The Message translation says, from head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. He forgives your sins and everyone. He heals your disease, everyone. He redeems you from hell, saves your life. He crowns you with love and mercy and paradise crown. He wraps you in goodness, beauty eternal. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. Let's pause. You're always young when you praise and when you worship. In the presence of God, age has nothing to do with this. That's why you see some people who are younger than you haven't even been through all the hell you've been through, but your praise is way better than ours. We tripping over small things. You had 40, 50 years under your belt, and 20 to 30-year-olds don't know how to praise and worship, and you've been through more divorces and more problems. What happened? You have youth when you praise. You have youth when you worship. He renews your youth. God makes everything come out right. He put victims back on their feet. He showed Moses how he went about his work, opened up his plans to all Israel. In your praise and in your worship, God will open up his plans to you. See, you're in this apartment right now because you're about to learn stewardship. But after you praise and worship me, despite the apartment you don't like, you're going to get to a place where you're not moved by it, and I'm going to promote you into your new house. My praise and my worship gives me a different perspective, a different interpretation of my process and my season. And I can hang in a little while. Someone say, hang on. Hang on. You hang on in things in life that frustrate you when they counterattack your faith by facilitating praise and releasing your worship to God. So we understand that David is writing from a personal lens. He's writing from a perspective. So my first point I want to say is my praise gives me a different perspective. My praise gives me a vantage point, and you can't take advantage of me when I have a different perspective. So, Mark, he's always late on the job, and, you know, he's about to be fired, and, you know, no one cares about him. Oh, how about this? Let's change the scenario. You heard they're laying everybody off. They're laying everybody off. Oh, and that person wants your job anyway, so they're trying to put fear in your profession so you can get out the way anyway. But too late, you have a my praise, you have a my worship, you have something personal that's convicting you. You have a different perspective of why they're laying everybody off anyway. You're like, well, you know what? I knew God was going to promote me anyway, and I didn't want to run y'all because y'all aren't faithful. My praise gives me a different perspective, and so when I worship and I praise God, they're laying everybody off because God's making way for me. Or they're laying everybody off because God's going to bless me with a new job anyway. At any moment, I can change my situation's interpretation. I may not change the situation or the scenario, but I can change how I look at it when I praise and when I worship. And when I release my hallelujah, I can change the way I see it. My praise gives me a different perspective. Oh, man, you heard you got a lot of haters in your life, girl. No one likes you. Man, no one cares about you. Man, I got all these haters. Wait, hallelujah. God, I worship you in spite of everybody talking about me. God, I praise you even though everybody's concerned about my kids. And I praise you even though we don't have all the money in the world. I worship you even though I have this car I don't like. Everybody's talking about me. And it seems like more and more people are talking about me. But in the midst of my praise and worship, my perspective changes. You can't take advantage of me because now the scripture comes up out of my spirit. He prepares a table in the midst of my... So my haters are showing me that there's a table present. My praise and my worship unleashes and unlocks what's already in my spirit. And I'm able to change my perspective of what you're saying to me. So I have a different perspective. In 2 Samuel 6, 6, 16 through 23... we talk about two interpretations of the situation. And I want to call her Michal. But basically, the Saul's daughter that David inherited when he slayed Goliath and became king, he married her. And she was already part of the family of bougie-ness longer than he was bougie. So he was a shepherd boy, a.k.a. he was from the hood before he became a king. So his praise had a little hood in it. And I believe that some people in here, you're not able to praise God like you're a millionaire yet, even though you have it here, because your praise has to do with all the poverty he got you out of. And so your praise don't look like where you're at. It looks like what you came out of. So your praise is not bougie. So you make six figures or you make money, but you have a praise because you came out of the product. So I look at my dad and I say to myself, which one's the interpretation? What type of perspective does he have? Is he praising God because he has a house in front of water at the lake? Or is he praising God because he came out of the projects? I can't tell because his praise comes from a place. Write that down. My praise comes from a place. You can't lose the position of where your praise was birthed out of. So David, of course, he has shepherd boy tendencies. He just happened to be a king. So verse 17 of 2 Samuel 6, they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside a special tent that David prepared for it. Drop down to verse 21 for the sake of time. David retorted to Michal, I was dancing before the Lord. The reason why I came out of my clothes and I'm celebrating because I'm just a hood boy that got the ark back from my enemy. The most prized possession for God's people, the most expensive thing for them, a Rolex had nothing to do with the ark. The ark was the most prized possession of what symbolically showed the worth of the covenant. It was created with gold. It was melted. It was put together by Moses and those who were in the wilderness. So he got something back, but he was just a boy with a slingshot. So when he praised God, he came from a different perspective. I know you see me with these riches, but I'm not praising God from that perspective. I'm praising God because he used a young man who's broken, who came from rags to riches to go get the enemy and get the ark and bring it back to God's house. Someone needs to stand up and praise God right now from where God has brought you from right now. I double dog dare you to praise God from the perspective of where he brought you out of. Hallelujah! 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 So listen. So, Michal, the daughter of the king who's used to the castle and used to the riches and used to the treasure and used to the environment and used to the bouginess, looks at David and says, if you could put the scripture back up, media, looks at David and said, you came out of your clothes and people are looking at you crazy. And this is what he said. He said, yes, I'm willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. Both those servant girls you mentioned, you will indeed think I am distinguished. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, remained childless throughout her entire life. But the point is, there's so much in that. But the point is, no one has a right to judge your praise. No one has the right to try to interpret how you should praise God. If you came from the hood, you better show God you brought me out of the hood. If you came from a bad family, show God that you're praising God because you created a good family. If you're a product of a child and your family was divorced and everybody had divorce in your family and everybody else is used to marriage, but you praise God for your marriage because no one else stayed married in your family, guess what? That's your praise. Someone say my praise. It's personal. Look to your neighbor and say it's personal. It's personal. It's personal. You see this, but I see this differently. It's personal. My praise gives me a different perspective. Check this out. My praise, it cuts on the lights and removes the demons that show up in my life in darkness as if they're roaches. You know, a lot of people try to act all bougie like they don't have roaches. You might think you don't have roaches. Some of us, you're like, no, I really am bougie. I don't have any roaches. My point is this. You will never know because when you cut on the light, they scatter. A lot of times when there's darkness in your life, people want to leech on your life because they're roaches. They have a roach mentality. They're trying to sneak into your relationships and sneak into your life. But when you praise and you worship, you cut the light on in your life and things that are shady and dark leave. How about you? How about we send them away right now? Come on. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. So when you do that, when roaches try to creep in and on your life, my praise cuts on the light on. I release the light that's in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. So even though everything around me is trying to tell me, you're a victim, Chandler, you're a victim, Chandler, you're a victim, Chandler. Oh, you're trying to talk to me, life? I'm going to release my praise that says, I'm a victor. I'm a victor. I'm a victor. So life is a setup, and my praise makes the devil upset. Can I get that rope under my wife real quick, Brother Doug? My praise and my hallelujah can take me to my next level. See, the devil doesn't want you to release your praise because your release, we had a real good youth conference, Big Jesus Weekend, and we got so hyped for Jesus. Teenagers, they get all hyped. We started doing this thing like, ha, 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 yeah. Can y'all not leave me out? You ready? 1, 2, 3. Ha, 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 yeah. You remember that? What happened? We were in a high place of worship, right, youth? And we started realizing that our faith can go get something for us. And the presence of God was there because we praised and we worshiped. And we realized the atmosphere was a breeding ground for miracles because we all were in expectation in the teen ministry. So we went ahead and released our faith for cars and debt-free cars. I told the teenagers, go ahead and start speaking those things that be not as though they are. Speak for prom dresses given to you. Hairstylists giving you free hair. What? I don't know what you want, young person. Just release it because the atmosphere is conducive to your breakthrough. So when you praise God, you are like a cowboy in a realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. I'm getting out of this debt. Yeah. Hallelujah. I won't be in this area. My kids won't be in this school district forever. Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't like this job, but God's developing me on this job. But I'm going to praise him anyway because my hallelujah is going to go get my next job. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My praise is a lasso. My praise is a lasso. It sounds like my next level, not my now level. I don't praise him from where I'm at. I praise him from my expectation of where I'm going to go. My hallelujah lets me know what's coming next. So when you praise God, you're not praising God based off your current income. You're praising God for your next level income. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Gonna go get financial wisdom in the name of Jesus. Oh, my body, okay. My hallelujah is gonna get my healing. Hallelujah. My hallelujah. My hallelujah says I'm going to my next level. My hallelujah says I'm not average. Life is just trying to put labels on me, but my hallelujah rips them away from me. My hallelujah said it won't be like this always. I might be in the process, but God's going to take me to the next level. It won't be like this always. Can we just say that prophetically? Come on. It won't be like this all. Come on, stir it up. It won't be like this always. Come on. It won't be like this always. One more time. It won't be like this always. Can we just give God a hallelujah? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
God!
Listen, listen. Whatever you try to throw me, life, you can't change or stop the plan of God. Praise tells my trust to trust. When my trust fails, my praise picks up my trust and makes my trust trust. Because my life, I can't trust in my life, but maybe my praise can get me out. Oh, my God. I don't have access to relationships, but maybe my praise can go get it. God is adding up my praise as equity in the realm of the spirit. I know no one else sees it the way you see it, but God said, I gave you a vantage point. I gave you an interpretation of your scenario and situation. No one can take advantage of you when you have a different perspective. No one can take advantage of you. They can't talk down to you when you know you're seated next to the Most High. They can't talk down to you. That's their perspective. My praise reminds me I'm a joint heir. I'm going to talk to some people who made some mistakes in your life. You might have made some mistakes. You might have had some financial lack of wisdom qualities in you from your past. And people might try to talk to you in a certain way when you go to certain places. But guess what? It's just going to take some time. You're already approved here. You just need God to give you some wisdom how to be approved here. God got you. Someone say, God got me. So I praise for the Lord's mercies. My praise gives me access and reminds me who I am vertically. But then sometimes the devil tries to play games with you there. Can you give me the plug and the extension cord? And sometimes my praise is a connection point. My praise is a connection point. Can I get some of the ministers? Oh, can you stand next to me if you don't mind, sir? Can y'all stand next to me? Or just hold this for me real quick. Can y'all stand next to me just right here? Because I'm going to have to plug into you. Because see, sometimes the devil tries to make you say, well, that you're being too spiritual. And so sometimes a young man may not be able to plug into God because the devil's distracting him. But I can plug into you. And if God ain't doing nothing in my life, my praise is an extension cord of my faith. And I can praise God for what's happening in your life. So sometimes my praise connects me vertically and it also connects me horizontally with what's going on in my row. So sometimes you may can't go for yourself, but go for someone else. Someone else got a new house. Someone else got a new car. Someone else got a relationship. Someone else got a new job. I'm praising God for what he's doing in you. I'm plugged in to what God's doing in you. So that's why the devil tries to hit you with jealousy and envy. Because if he hits you with jealousy and envy, it disrupts your praise. Because the devil knows he can attack your life, but he can't attack everybody around you. But if you're so stuck on dumb and stupidity and you can't praise God for no one else, now you're stuck and you can't plug into nothing. Thank you so much. That's the point. The point is, come on, plug into someone next to you and say, I'm praising God for you. Prophesy in that person's life. Say, I'm plugged into what God's doing in your life. I'm plugged into your relationship. One day I'm going to be a fiance. One day I'm going to have a child. One day I'm going to have a house like yours. I thank God for your house. I thank God for what God, I thank God for your debt-free house. It took a lot of faith. No one understood it. But me and Andrea, thank God for your house. I thank God for what, I thank God for my brother's house. I've been to your house. It's pretty nice. I'll plug in to you. Plug into you. My praise helps me bear witness vertically to what God's saying about my life, as well as bear witness to what God's doing around my life. At any moment, devil, I can praise God. I can praise God. I'll look to my left. I'll look to my right. I'll look at my pastor. I'll look at his son. I'll look at whoever. I'll find a praise. Has anybody ever had to find a praise before? The week was rough. Nothing was going on good. You were waiting for somebody from church to post something on Facebook. I'm going to find a praise. I'm going to let y'all out on time. Praise connects me with my spiritual DNA of Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. My hallelujah latches on to things like a Wild Wild West cowboy rope. Hallelujah helps me relate vertically with what's going on. And the Holy Spirit assists me when I worship and praise with flashback and reminders from my mind. So when my mind forgets during my praise, during my worship, the Holy Spirit says, you used to do this, but God got you over here. You wasn't even thinking about that on that day. But in that moment, in that spirit realm, when you lift your hands up and you were praising God, the Holy Ghost said, remind him of where I brought him from. The Holy Spirit goes, remind him of how good I've been in his life. And so when I worship, when I become when I facilitate, and when I open up my heart and release my victorious nature found in Jesus Christ, I make it easier for the Holy Spirit to assist my mind, to keep my mind on Him. Write this down. My worship touches God. My worship touches God. My worship helps me squeeze through everybody else who's trying to get around Jesus. That woman with the issue of blood had the posture of a worshiper. She wasn't loud about it. She was sneaky about it. My worship sneaks me in.
Getting into the presence of God brings peace, clarity, and joy. When we praise and worship God, we express our dependence on Him and our reverence for who He is. This powerful series helps you to understand the power of praise and worship. Order today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for The Call to Worship.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.